Hello, everyone. This is Fear the Sword editor Chris Manning with Fear the Sword staff writer Trevor McNaughty. We are here today to do a little audio supplement to an article we're writing on Fear the Sword today. It's going to be about the Kyrie assist narrative. Trevor's going to be looking at it in the writing part from the stats angle. I'm going to be looking at it from the kind of narrative angle and kind of just debunk. We're going to debunk them in kind of both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to just supplement it with a little discussion here. And Trevor, first off, before we kind of get into this, how are you doing today?
You know, good.
We're almost both done with mm-hmm. school, so that's good.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we do say we'd love to have like a long discussion about this, because I think this is like a very interesting thing with the Cavs right now. It's like how Kyrie's looked at.
Yeah,
like definitely. I think out of the big three, to me, the way he's looked at, just because of, I think he, if this like went really badly for a whole year, I feel like he'd probably be the scapegoat. That's kind of my thinking, because it's LeBron kind of has a cachet.
Yeah.
Like, he'll get some of the blame because he's LeBron, but he also has a cachet of, like, everyone knows he's really good. Love would have the luxury of kind of being a post player where the offense, people have to really give him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyrie, just his style, I think, irritates
some people.
Yeah,
just for the
because he's a quote-unquote point guard.
Yeah, for the context of it, we've seen a lot of stuff this year about Kyrie, and particularly his assist numbers. There was, of course, the infamous, if you want to say that, Jazz game, where he didn't have a single assist. He's had a couple other times where he's had, like, two, maybe three assists the entire season. And it's just been really annoying, because it seems like every game where he doesn't put up a bunch of ridiculous passing numbers right away, like, this narrative keeps building up that, you know, Kyrie's hurting the team by not passing, and he's not doing the best thing that he could possibly do. And that gets lumped in with the defensive problems that we've still seen with Kyrie at some point this season. I mean, it's not as bad as it was last year or 2 years ago, but people are still talking up how bad he is on defense, and it's really just formed this huge narrative of Kyrie's playing really, really well right now, but he's not. People think he's not putting the Cavs in a position to win, and they think he's hurting the team. There's a variety of different connotations that has taken, depending on how hot takey you want to get, but the general consensus seems to be that Kyrie is not performing optimally for what the Cavs need him to do.
Right. And Trevor and I would like to have kind of a discussion about this. I think it's something worth having, but mm-hmm. we just ask, please actually read what we write before you just comment. Like, read what we say, consider it, and then form kind of a cognitive response.
And in addition, you should also read Ryan Morton's piece about Kyrie that's just kind of like a general, like, screw you guys, Kyrie's awesome thing, which definitely is the opinion that we are taking as well. He just says it a lot more bluntly. Plus, it has a really good boost GIF, which I know everyone gets excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't yet read Ryan's piece. It's on my reading list for today, but if Trevor vouches for it, definitely go and read it. So the thing we'll start off with this. We're going to start with the stats side of it. Trevor's going to look at. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is, just to give you an idea of what Kyrie's numbers are at right now. Per game for this year, Kyrie Irving is averaging 20.8 points a game, or 22 points a game per game, excuse me. His per 36 is 20.8.
Mm-hmm.
That would be lower than his second year total, but it would be the second highest total of his career. He is averaging 4.8 assists a game, which would be the lowest of his career by 0.6.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting, you know, 48.9% from the field, which would be a career high. He's also shooting 42.2% from three, which would be another career high. He's shooting 52.2% on two-point field goals, which is, like, awesome for him, considering his well-chronicled kind of struggles to finish inside.
Yeah, he's doing very, very well this year.
That floater, for me, is, like, really the key. And, mm-hmm. you know, per 36, he's averaging 4.6 assists per game, which is, like, much lower than his other numbers are. Like, all the other ones are, it's 6.4, then 6.2, then 6.2 again. So that is lower. But, you know, overall, like, he's having a very good year. I mean, his PER is at 23.1, which is two points higher than every year he's had. That's not an end-all, be-all statistic, but that's kind of a good indication of how a player is playing within the confines of expected things. And, like, mm-hmm. he is dishing out fewer assists.
His career average is 32.1 for context. Right. Like, right. He has put up big... And
Trevor, what do the numbers tell you that kind of paints, like, of more... Like, this is the base level picture of what I just laid out.
Yeah.
What did... When you dive a little bit, tell you another light?
I mean, the big thing that people have jumped on him about is that he's kind of taken over a lot more of the scoring load than a lot of people kind of... is important to note is just how much of an impact... LeBron James has had on Kyrie's 0.5 assists per game, while Kyrie averages 4.6. And while Kyrie's had an assist percentage that's pretty low of 22.1, LeBron's is like one of the highest in the league at 37.9. To put that into context, I did some looking at who Kyrie has played with in his career. The highest assist percentage of a teammate of Kyrie's is Ramon Sessions in the first 41 games of Kyrie's rookie season. I think he had an assist percentage of like 34.8 or something. Close to that. The next highest is Luke Walton 2 years ago, and then last year Jarrett Jack came in second with a number about where Kyrie is. So Kyrie's never really played a ton of minutes with a guy like LeBron before who can take over that passing role and kind of frees up Kyrie to do some scoring. And a lot of what I think is a lot of what is making this look weird on the surface is that Kyrie now can defer to LeBron to be able to be the playmaker on the offense, and Kyrie can take over more of the scoring load and kind of have that be his focus and take on more of a volume. Whereas last year he had to be a volume scorer to carry the offense and the team's number one playmaker. So I think the two things that you need to keep in mind are, yes, his assist totals are down, but he's having the most efficient shooting season of his career. Shooting 48.9% from the field, a career-high 42.2% from three. True shooting percentage right now of 61.4, which is just phenomenal for a point guard. Would you rather have him doing that, or would you rather have something like last year, or his rookie season, where he was putting up very high assist numbers, 6.4 assists per 36 in his rookie season, and then 6.2 the past 2 years before this one, and kind of take over the scoring load, especially when you factor in LeBron's role. I think that's kind of where people have a disconnect, is they're just looking at Kyrie's numbers and saying, oh, he's not assisting, he must be hurting the team, but you're not looking at the fact that LeBron's averaging 7.5 a game and has completely taken over that playmaking role that Kyrie uses, and loves a good passer too.
Loves a very good interior passer. Varejao's a pretty decent interior passer. And LeBron's also probably the best passer, if not the best passer, one of the best 3-4 passers in the league.
Yeah,
like he's always had great court vision. I mean, if you want to go back to the opposite of the hot take, when LeBron was a young player with the Cavs, the knock on him was that he passed at the new games. I mean, the Daniel Marshall pass in that one Raptors game, I think, will forever be, like, for me, one of the craziest things ever, like, just the craziness that ensued in terms of just, like, the assailing of LeBron's game after that. And you know, kind of add another thing to this. Kyrie is, like, moving the ball very well.
Yes.
Like, if you want, Trevor and I looked this up before, Kyrie Irving is 14th in the league in secondary assists. You know, that puts him in the likes of the hilarious, it's tied with.
Yeah, there's still some early season variants and guys getting a lot of minutes, like Donald Sloan, like,
that'll
and Brandon
go away
Jennings.
And once George Hill comes back to the Pacers. But yeah, he's right there with Dame Lillard, Tony Parker, Darren Collison, and Reggie Rondo are all .1 ahead of him at 1.5.
Yeah.
Like, Steph Curry's there at 1.6. You know, he's with, like, in the group that's, like, a pretty good indication.
Yeah, I mean,
he's also the highest calf.
Yeah. The thing that's also interesting to note is he is passing the ball less. He's averaging 60.5 passes per game, which puts him kind of in the ballpark of your first guys. And what's interesting is he has the lowest assist totals of guys like that, product of kind of he's putting up similar assist opportunities.
I'm looking for some. Mike Conley's at 12.6. He's around there too. Just a function of how the offense is running that determines that. It's not an individual thing, and they're not asking Kyrie to be a playmaker, nor should they be.
No. And that brings us to the other side of this, which will be, and we'll kind of work some stats on this as well, but this is what I'll be writing about. Trevor and I both are, I believe, and I speak for Trevor in this, is that I personally believe that positions are like a, more of a guide for someone like watching the game that you can label things. People mm-hmm. like when things are labeled. It's easier to process, it's less abstract, and it's more concrete. Hence Kyrie's a point guard. But I will say, and I wrote this, I think I wrote this in a recap, in the recap of the Knicks game where Kyrie, talk about the Knicks game for a second. This proves my point. Kyrie Irving is the only reason the Cavs were in that game for most of the game. LeBron, that was LeBron's probably second or third worst game of the season.
Yep. He had, what, seven? No, that was the Bucks game that he had, like, seven turnovers.
No, but he didn't really make any consistent shots until he hit that absurd three in the fourth and, you know, got a couple lay-ins.
He got to the line pretty well, right.
But he, like, his on-the-floor shooting was horrid. Like, a lot of bad jumpers. Love wasn't really all that great against the Knicks. You know, like, Deion only took, like, made six. He made 3-6 from the field, but he took six shots. Like, Kyrie was the
30, only, yes, 37 points.
Out of the Cavs, what, 90?
Yeah, he was 12 of 18 from the field.
For a point guard who shoots a lot of jump shots, who shoots a lot of threes, who shoots a lot of shots, took a lot of shots in the mid-range area.
He had a true shooting percentage for the
game. I maintain this, and this, I think the Knicks game really illustrates that. To me, his game is more, I guess, than it is, you know, Chris Paul's.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, to me, is, and along with, I guess, Tony Parker in a way, although he's a little bit more flary, and see the old standard for the point guard. Like, mm-hmm. he's pass first, he plays really good defense, he's like the quote-unquote leader of that team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's his thing. As the Knicks game illustrates, and as his whole career has illustrated, to ask, does but shouldn't ask him to play is just absurd to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does he bring in the ball? But as Trevor mentioned, there's LeBron James on the floor, who's a great distributor, probably better than Kyrie, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And his skill, when Kyrie gets inside, he is not looking to, you know, he will make the extra pass when it's open, but he also has
an issue last year when he wasn't making that shot, right. But he's making that shot.
I mean, we saw it at Team USA, like, for the summer. He was making that shot all the time.
It just,
you look at the NBA right now to me, and I think you look at Kyrie, especially the guys he's going to be compared to for the most of his career.
Yeah.
Like, that he's in the same age bracket as. So, Russell, I would say Russell and Steph are, like, less.
Yeah, he's he's closer to your Russell Westbrook and your Ty Lawson, Chris Paul, John Wall group. And that's the thing that annoys me the most about this John Wall-Kyrie comparison, that are going to get compared to each other. But it's really comparing apples to oranges.
I mean, they could not be more different.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I discovered Draft Express, because I didn't know a lot about John Wall at the time, to be honest. The whole thing in him was explosive first step, gonna struggle as freak athlete. Like that was the thing. Kyrie was, when he came out the next year, total opposite.
Yeah.
He wrote about Kyrie's first All-Star game, and basically said that Kyrie loves R&B, and that's his game. He's smoother. He limits him on the defensive end, but he's also just so technically sound and efficient and smooth with what he does with his handles and with his... And I think, like, that dichotomy between, like, what... Like, Wall fits the traditional narrative more than Kyrie does, and it's, like, really... And I think you think this. It's, like, why do you think... Like, what do you think that narrative, like, actually is, like, a...
It puts a... Like, people didn't expect... Like, obviously, people that weren't really, like, Cavs were going to struggle this much. Like, and they struggled a little bit out the gate. So people started looking at, oh, what's different? Well, it can't be, you know, they don't blame him.
He has rings.
Yeah.
Death.
Kevin Love is adjusting to a completely new situation. Oh, Kyrie's...
Player who'd been... Like, picked on in certain ways.
Yeah,
like,
and
for
people had a lot more concerns about Kyrie's game going into the season than they did about Love's and LeBron's, and people saw that Kyrie had a lower assist total than he had in the past, and they were ignoring the fact that he was hitting a ton of jumpers and the fact that he was carrying the offense for most games, but just went okay. He has zero assists against the Jazz. they lose, and the offense looks bad. He has 2 assists against the Knicks. The offense looks bad. They barely beat a terrible Knicks team. Something must be wrong here. And I think that's mainly, it's just kind of like something to explain the struggles that the Cavs have gone through. But now that they're actually kind of kicking it into gear and nothing's changed on that front, the offense is moving a lot more efficiently and nothing has changed about Kyrie's game, it's starting to look silly.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there. It is just silly. Just because he doesn't, you know, rack up 12 assists a game or 7 or 8 assists a game, or he doesn't have, like, Kyrie will probably have a game this year where he has, like, 10 assists.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably going to happen at some point. And I would actually venture to guess his assist numbers go up a little bit.
Yeah. What's...
Like, as the Cavs' ball movement improves, I would guess they do.
Yeah. Just as a thing to keep in mind here, the 2012-2013 season, which I think we can say is Kyrie's best as a passer, because that was probably his best overall season going into this one, he had games of 0-4 assists 17 times. And he still averaged, like, I think it was per game, 5.9 assists per game in about 34.7 minutes. This year, he has 4.8 assists a game, and he has put up less or 0-4 assists 6 times. I think and he's put up 5-9 12. So 2/3 of the time, you're getting a good assist total out of Kyrie Irving anyway. I think it's just the fact that we've had a couple games where it's been like, you know, 0 assists against the Jazz, 2 assists against Washington, 2 assists against New York, and those are all games where the Cavs have struggled. I think that he's under a lot more scrutiny, but people, you know, they're choosing to forget 7 assists against the Knicks in the first game, 9 assists in the win over the Pelicans, 8 assists in the win over the Nuggets, or in the loss of the Nuggets, excuse me,
yeah.
6 assists 2 nights ago against Toronto. Like, and it's not that when he's passing the ball, the Cavs win. When he's not passing the, or when he's not racking up assists, the Cavs lose. Like, it's a pretty even balance between the two. It's just, it seems to be also that he has these nights where he's not passing particularly well in the games that are on national TV, mm-hmm. and that's definitely not helping.
No, that probably doesn't help either. I mean, even to talk about that next game again, they brought that up several times, his assist numbers.
Yeah.
And they publicly, I couldn't remember who it was, who was the announcer.
Fratello.
Yeah.
And Marv Albert. And, my God, Mike Fratello was unbearable in that game.
Yeah.
Unbearable.
He kept bringing up, I mean, like, the assist thing is an easy thing to do because it's, like, a stat that you can explain quantifiably very easily. I think that's also part of the thing. It's just so easily, it's easily digestible for someone who is just, like, is like a Cavs fan who just really cares more about the wins and loss more than they do about how the win and loss is happening.
Yeah,
I think that's the other thing. But Fratello, I agree with you. Like, he brought it up, they kept bringing it up, and then there was, like, this big moment where he had one, and it was, like, a joke.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, like, he had one, like, a lot. And, like, there's even smart basketball people on Twitter that night that I think are pretty good basketball writers that I've read for a long time. Jeff Goodman from ESPN, who I've had the privilege of talking to a few times. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated. Like, people that, like, know the game.
Yeah,
or like are in tune and have covered basketball for a long time that like bring that up too, and it's such an easy thing to do.
Yeah, it's just getting caught up in the narrative and people, yeah. Like, I don't know, it just kind of swirled out of control. I think, and I think it's not helped by Wall having like a ridiculous season, and you've got 5 guys right now who are averaging at least 9 assists per game. And even Steph Curry, who is like the
bomber,
like prototypical like shoot first point guard, is averaging 7.7 assists per game. Like, people look at that and they don't think, oh, the Warriors are just spitting hot fire right now, and every assist that that Steph Curry is dishing out is, or every pass that Curry's dishing out is turning into assists. People are neglecting to realize that Steph Curry has one of the highest assist conversion rates in the league.
Yep.
7.7 assists per game on 13.7 assist opportunities per game is absurd.
That's absurd. That's
like 55%.
If you're over 50% on assists, like...
Yeah.
And the Warriors with... Just they're scoring insanely. Like their offense is a lot better this year.
Yeah.
Like they're clicking on, like as you said, they're clicking on every cylinder. When you're getting easy buckets like that,
yeah. It seems like the more traditional people are thinking, not that that is a product of the Warriors just hitting shots. It's a product of Steph Curry is finally getting them good looks, and that's why he's an MVP candidate.
But the reason Steph Curry's an MVP candidate and like
yeah,
because he's freaking Steph Curry and he can make shots from 35 feet.
Yeah, and that's another thing that works in Kyrie's favor that people aren't necessarily realizing is how many assists per game is the rest of the team generating just by having Kyrie out on the floor, having him as a threat with how good he's shooting, and that's pulling defenders away. Help and pulling help away from other open shooters for the Cavs. How many times has LeBron made a pass to another player where Kyrie wasn't even involved, but the fact that he was on the floor was drawing a help defender away from an open shooter like Kevin Love?
Yeah, or even if Kyrie's like the backside shooter, he's been very good as a spot-up shooter this year so far.
Yeah.
Like, he's been very good at intelligent of when to shoot, when to drive, when to make that secondary pass.
Yeah.
If he's on the backside and LeBron's leading the offense and Love's either, you know, in the post or on the other, like, him and Kyrie are, like, somehow staggered, you have to pay attention to that. And, like, that creates room for LeBron. That creates room for Anderson Varejao to get, like, easy pick-and-roll dumps. That creates room for Sean Marion to either get that bizarre corner three or to, like, take a crazy floater. Like, you're right. It creates these open looks for everyone
else. And it's completely unquantifiable, but that's something that guys like Steph Curry, guys like Russell Westbrook, Damian Willard,
like Curry, you first up, like let's look at Steph again. You have to if you're a point guard or a wing or whoever defending Steph Curry, it's kind of the same with Kyrie, I think, not to like as extreme extent because Steph's like Steph's an alien.
Yeah,
like Steph is the ultimate outlier for everything he does.
Yeah,
but you have to defend him 33 feet out.
Like, yeah, how many secondary assists has Steph Curry created just by looking to jump stop in transition, looking like he's going to pull up, and then just dishing it off to another player because the help hasn't gone back. The guy that's trying to defend on the fast break has to step out on Curry instead of defending the rim. Yeah. And how many fast break buckets has that led to for the Warriors? And outside of the secondary assist per game, which are kind of it's kind of vague how those are gotten, how is that quantifiable?
Yeah.
It's not quantify the threat. And right now, guys like Curry and Willard and Kyrie, the threat is almost more important than what they're actually doing passing the ball.
Right. And with Curry, it's like, as you point, like, and it's also, he's just, like, he's an offense unto himself. Like, he's just unquantifiable. And with Russ, like, no one can stop Russ from getting in the lane, and if he gets to the rim, why is he not going to shoot it? Like, it's redundant for him to get to the rim in like two steps, and then why would he pass it to Mitch to Ibaka, or like why is he going to make that echo? Like, if he's going to score, he's just score.
Yeah, and Kyrie is very similar to that too, because of how quickly he turns the corner on the pick and roll.
He's kind of developed like a. I think the most comparable thing is because he's not as explosive as Russ. Is that it's like Kyle Lowry-esque to me. Like,
yeah,
he gets around and he's like very sneaky. He's not as short. Kyrie's also 6'3". We have to like just as a context. He's not as short as Lowry.
Yeah,
but he's not doing the kneel down and like creating that weird angle. But he's putting his body in this perfect spot to put his arm up and put this like perfect floater up. Like of course he's gonna shoot that. Like if he's gonna make it, he's gonna shoot it.
Yeah.
Like what does it do? And just what like that? That's also like it's just a. It's you have to you can't just like look. I think that we're just getting in here is.
Like, you can't look at just the numbers.
You can't just look at just that number. Like, stats matter, and Trevor I understand the importance of, you know, gauging statistics and, like, what they can do to tell you things.
Yeah.
But you also just have to, like, I don't think you can just quantify the whole thing in stats. Even event stats, you really can't.
Yeah.
Like, but...
4.8 assists per game does not tell the entire story.
No. I mean, I hate win shares as a stat. Like, I think that's actually my least favorite event stat. But, like, Kyrie's win share, I remember seeing on Twitter the other day, and I couldn't tell you the exact number off the top of my head, but...
He has 2.6 offensive win share so far this season. To compare that, last year he had 4.6. and he's played maybe a fifth as many games.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, like, you want to look at Kyrie's, like, ratings. Like, he's scoring 100 by himself this year. 125 per 100 possessions.
That's an...
Like, all rating.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah
that's crazy.
It's very insane. Impressive. Yeah.
Like if he's... That's cool, because what does Kyrie do? He scores. Mm-hmm. That number would be lower. It's just... It's just such a tricky... Like, I don't think this is going to go away. Like, I think that's the thing. I really think this is probably something that kind of sticks with the Cavs all year. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee when the Cavs are playing the Hornets or someone in the first round of the playoffs, or just, you know, like a lower-level East team, he's going to have one game where he has one assist, but scores, like, 30 points, and we're going to hear this again. But Trevor and I think both really agree that this is just something that's really blown
out of proportion.
Out of proportion. We need to look at the whole picture here, and you understand that Kyrie is a point... Is he labeled a point guard? Yes, but to kind of say that it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Like, that just doesn't... It's not something that really means anything more than just... It's a label that you should probably look past and dive a little bit deeper into.
Mm-hmm.
So we're obviously below this, we'll have some writing. Mm-hmm. We'd appreciate it again. Appreciate your guys' feedback. Make sure you find Trevor on Twitter at TMagnati. Find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. We just tweet us, comment in the below, just give us your feedback. And
thanks for reading.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. And hopefully this sparks, I think, kind of something interesting here.